ับหน่วยแล้วก็จะได้มีการทำงานกันใน
สองที่นี่นะครับ
Introduce It's also a great pleasure to join this workshop and learn interesting physics from the all of us. This work is done. It's a different system. It's an ultra-cold atom system. I try to show that it's relevant to this workshop, and we found numerical evidence for a possible power law correlation for the Hubbard model at half filling. And these are we studied both the ground state magnetic property and the thermodynamic properties. This was we have been working on related systems nearly a decade since I was a student for some related past work. Let me introduce my collaborators, Zicai, Xiang Xunhong, and Yi Li, my student postdoc at the NCC. Zi and Xiang Xunhong, they have left, and Yi is currently here. And they did I'm grateful to them for their hard work. They did a numerical simulation and analyzed the data and the results. Dong Zhen is a student at Tsinghua University in Beijing. He spent half a year at USC, and he developed the first version of the quantum Monte Carlo code for our group. And Lei Wang is a postdoc at ETH. Also have collaborations. This work is on the parcel-related work. Also thankful for collaboration. Zhou Xianzhang is my former PhD advisor at Stanford, Yang Pinghu, and Chen Shu and Yu Fengwang at Institute of Physics, Chinese Academy of Sciences. This work, we get very generous guidance from Professor Hui Hirsch, who's a quantum Monte Carlo expert, and also have fruitful discussion with experimentalists, Takahashi from Kyoto University, and encouragement from Li Zhou and Jason Ho, is supported by SF and AFOSR. This is the outline of the talk. First, I'll give introduction. I try to show that in addition to the usual solid state system, we have a novel system for study quantum magnetism. Such a system is a large string also called alkali or alkali Earth atoms, presumably with like fermions. Why they are interesting? Usually, you know, in solid state, we think that large spin suppresses quantum spin fluctuation, and I will convince you that in such a system, it's just opposite. The large spin actually enhances the quantum spin fluctuation. It's because of such a system, the symmetry can be greatly enhanced to SUN or SPM type. Most of the talk will focus on the experiment relevant system, ytterbium, which is SU6 magic. But before that, I will briefly introduce my previous work on the simplest case of the spin 3/2 system. Such a system have a beautiful mathematical structure. It has a generic SP4 symmetry without fine tuning. It's generic for the arbitrary parameters for the Hubbard model. It provides a unification of anti-ferromagnetism. So it should be AFM. Superconductivity and SCW. For the details, we can refer to my talk quite a few years ago, 5 years ago, also at the KIT cold atom workshop. And then we'll move to the ytterbium atom. For the Hubbard model at half filling, which means three particles per size, we did the zero temperature quantum Monte Carlo simulation. I found that the spin correlation is power law correlated. And we know that in such a community, a crucial issue is that actually the cold atom is not cold but hot atom. Although the absolute temperature scale is small, but it's low, but compared to the relevant magnetic exchange and scale, the temperature is still too high. So a weather such a system can have an effective cooling is an important problem. And we will prove also a thermodynamic simulation through quantum Monte Carlo and to show that the enhancement of Pomerantio cooling in such a system. You know that there have been in the past past several decades, there have been many efforts, analytical and numerical efforts for the study for the spin liquid, and also many important experiment progress. Here's the knowledge I learned since I was a student, and also from the workshop here. From the early days, the bosonic large N is shrink boson type, field theory and large method on it, and also from the fermionic large N. An RVD type quantum dynamo model, and more recently, the important numerical progress on the frustrated lattice, including ring change, JVNJ2 square lattice and Kagome lattice, and also including charge fluctuation in the weak motor insulators, including quantum Monte Carlo simulation on honeycomb lattice, square lattice with a pi flux. I apologize if this list is incomplete. Due to my ignorance. Certainly there are many important works that are not listed here. I will try to show that in addition to this solid state systems, an ultra-cold atom system with the alkali or alkali earth atom, they are also interesting because such a system can, under very general situations, can process the large symmetry SU2N or SB2N. I choose the N to be odd number because the fermion, the number of components, are always even. The theoretical investigations started quite a long time ago. My collaborators and I, we considered this. We focused on the simplest cases in three half fermions. And later on, Azaria Lichminant, they also did important contributions. And more recently, and the Corrado group studied the SU2N model, have a lot of important, nice work. Why these systems are related to this workshop? I will show you that such a system have a very strong quantum spin fluctuations. It is a quite a nice system to study quantum disordered motor insulating state in addition to our solid state system. On the experiment side, unfortunately, this high symmetrical system are no longer just a mathematical, are no longer just of academic interest. There are really some experiment effort which is going on in the ultra-cold atom labs. These two groups, the Lorentz-Curley-Universitas group, they realize a ytterbium atom which has six components, and also the Tom Cadence group at Rice University, the strontium atom, which spin 9 halves, has 10 components. Well, this is the work 2 years ago. They have already realized a quantum gas. So the temperature is already cooled below the quantum degeneracy. And more recent progress, Takahashi's group, the paper coming here in this summer, they have loaded the ytterbium atom into the three-dimensional cubic optical lattice. And we have successfully realized the motor insulating state. You can see this line is for the ytterbium atom. The lowest temperature it can reach is at the order of the Hawking matrix elements in their tight bonding system, in their optical lattice. This temperature is still higher than the anti-ferromagnetic exchange energy. But nevertheless, this is the first step to reach the quantum magnetism. And also by itself, this system, this temperature scale is also interesting. This temperature scale, you can't reach it in solids because at such a high temperature, lattice already melt. This is a very interesting observation I learned from Steve Kielsen, and it shows that even by itself, this such a system is quite interesting. As you can see, the temperature here and the U, this temperature is comparable, it's 5 times of the Hawking, it's much smaller than U. So it is already a strongly correlated system. And to confirm that the system is already in a multi-insulating state, the experimentalists, they can shake the lattice. They modulate the lattice to vibrate. Then, presumably, the initial state, each optical side, you have one fermion per side. And by shaking this lattice, you can create a doubly occupied state. They call it, for example, the doublons. Once the doublons is created, through optical method, we call the photo association, they can associate two atoms into a molecular state. And this molecular state will escape from trap. So from this technique, we can measure the doublon, the efficiency of doublon creation. As you can see, this V means that the depth of the lattice, at the shallow lattice, the system is in a metallic state. You can see the absorption spectrum does not have much feature. The horizontal axis is the modulation frequency. So it does not have charge gap at weak lattice tension. And when the lattice becomes when you have a strong and a stronger and stronger optical lattice, and you enter a strong coupling regime, and you can see this absorption have a redness. And below the critical threshold, there's a charge gap. So this is a demonstration that they have already observed the charge gap, although the temperature is still a little bit far away from the magnetic exchange.
Excuse me, how do they change the parameters in the experimental setup?
You change the hopping, have the TU, this kind of. Well, this is very easy. Just increase the, you form the optical lattice. Optical lattice is formed by interference pattern of laser beams. Just change the laser intensity. If laser intensity is increased, then it means that the potential depth is increased, and tunneling matrix element between different optical sites is suppressed. So U does not change much, but T you can change exponentially. So that's effectively you can easily reach a very strong coupling region.
So these are real experimental data, it's not
simulation. Yeah, this is real experimental data. Yeah.
Sorry, yes. Still the dimensionality of the system?
This is three-dimensional cubic
line. Three-dimensional?
Yeah.
And what's a dashed vertical line?
Vertical line is the doublon. The doublon occupancy.
The dashed vertical lines.
Dashed vertical lines.
In the panel C, D, and E.
Oh, this kind of, they try to match this half the U. It's pretty simple, the charge gap. We try to match.
Sorry, these are fermions or bosons?
They are fermions. What I'm talking today, there's absolutely fermions, no bosons. So why such a system is interesting? Usually we know that in solid state, we are not excited simply by the larger value of spin. The simple argument that the larger the spin is, the more classical the system is. The reason is that in solid state, the large spin are actually not real large spin, but several electrons combined by Hund's rule to form a large spin object. For example, suppose this is a cation side, you have many electrons combined by Hund's rule, and neighbors you have another many electrons combined with a large spin with opposite spin orientation. Although each side is fine, you have large spin, but the interaction between neighboring sides at the leading order is dominated by your super exchange, one pair of electrons. Thus, no matter how large your background spin is, your spin fluctuation is only 1 or minus 1. So in this sense, quantum spin fluctuation is suppressed by the 1 over S effect. If you write a exchange model for such a system, no matter how large your spin is, the leading order is a bilinear Heisenberg term. You could have higher order by quadratic term or even by cubic term, which but the coefficient is suppressed by the higher order perturbation process.
It's actually T4 over U cubed.
Sorry. such a system, what you call the large spin, what you call the atom system, is quite different. The large spin is a really large spin. It's a hyperfine spin composed by the electron spin of the nuclear spin. You don't want to ionize the atom. And suppose this side you have a large spin atom, this side a large spin atom. When they move as an entire object. So a single step to exchange can completely flip the spin configuration. In other words, if we insist to use the spin language, the fluctuation of the spin can take all the possible values from 1 minus 1 to s or minus s. There's no constraint on it. So in other words, if you write the exchange Hamiltonian, all these bilinear, biquadratic, bicubic, all the terms which are allowed, the coefficient, they're at the same equal footing, which means that such a system, the quantum fluctuation is greatly enhanced by the large number of the spin components. So the right language for such a system is not large s, not large value of c, but the large n. N means that n equals 2s plus 1, which is the number of the components. But for general situations, as you can see, this is quite messy. You don't know how to work on such a system. But fortunately, for a large class of atoms, which is called alkali earth atom, this atom, their electron shells are fully filled. And their hyperfine spin is nothing but the nuclear spin. And since the nuclear deeply buried inside, so the inter-atom scattering, the interaction between atoms is insensitive to the nuclear components. So this such a system will have an obvious SU2N symmetry because their interaction is just a density-density interaction. However, the SU2N symmetry is not generic. It only applies for alkali earth type atom. If for alkali atom, your electron shell is partially filled. The inter-atom scattering will have spin-dependent interactions. In this case, the SU2N symmetry is usually broken. The simplest broken method is the SU2N is broken to SP2N. SP2N group might not be sound very familiar to some of the audience, but I assure that if you, for SU2N generators, if all these generators, the part of them which are odd and time reversal transformations, which expand SP into algebra. I will give you a concrete example. This is an introduction of this talk. I will try to show that the crucial difference between large spin ultra cold atom system and large spin solid state system. And second, I will briefly mention and give a review of for the simplest spin 3/2 systems to show this unification of the anti-ferromagnetism, superconductivity, and the CDW. Okay. For more technical details, you can see this talk. The simplest large spin system require have quite a few candidates, and unfortunately, none of them has been experimentally proved. Maybe I heard some work on the mercury atom, but on different isotopes. If we extend the simplest spin 1/2 Hubbard model to the spin 3/2 fermions, you can see this Hopping term and chemical potential term is as usual, just increase the number from the up and down to the four components. And in interactions, we have some new terms because when you have two spin 3/2 fermions sitting on the same side, their total spin have two different choices. They can be either total spin singlet or total spin 2, which is a quintet. Then you can, for each interaction channel, you can assign an independent interaction parameter U0 and U2. I will not show the detail, but I will tell you a result that for such a Hamiltonian, for all the values of these interaction parameters, regardless of dimensionality, external potential, lattice geometry, there's an exact SP4 symmetry. In other words, that the status, the rule of the SP4 symmetry in spin 3/2 systems is very similar to the SU2 symmetry in the spin 1/2 Hubbard model. So why there's such a high symmetry? The reason is that usually, for example, in our electron system, we usually talk about charge and spin. The reason is because in a particle channel, the bilinears, the 2x2 emission matrix, we can always decompose into identity and three polymatrices. So one is associated with charge, the other to spin is already complete set. But for this four-component spin 3/2 fermions, we have much more degrees of freedom. We have 16 degrees of freedom. So charge and spin, they are not a complete set. To complete these degrees of freedom, we need to build up high rank tensors. From spin, you can make up the rank 2 tensor, which is called spin quadrant operator, and also the rank 3 tensor is a spin octal operator. The rank 2 tensors are very special. The spin quadrant operators, if you write them explicitly just like this, they are nothing but the Dirac gamma matrices in the Euclidean representation. You can check that they anti-commute with each other. And on the other hand, the spin and the 7 spin octal operators, you can organize them in a nice way such that they can be expressed by the commutator by these gamma matrices. And you can check the degrees of freedom, 7 plus 3 plus 7 equals 10. These 10 operators generate nothing but the SP4 algebra. The spin 3 half the model is SP4 invariant. You can do a brute force calculation to check that the Hamiltonian commutes with all of these 10 operators. So in other words, for this four component fermion system, in the particle channel, the complete symmetry is U4 group. And U4, you have 16 generators, including one in the density channel and 15 in the spin channel. If you classify them, their symmetry and time reversal transformation, the density and the spin quadrant operators, they are time reversal even, because density is a spin zero's power, and the quadrupole is a spin square. But spin itself and spin cubic, the spin operators, which are and the time reversal, which are odd, they also close the algebra. This is SP4. The spin 3 halves half the model is generically SP4 invariant. And why this symmetry is useful? We can use this symmetry and also other high symmetry based on extended from this to unify the anti-ferromagnetism activity at density wave. This is a phase diagram at the half filling. Here the half filling, which means two particles per side, because each side can at most hold 4 particles. In the middle of the phase diagram, you can see at half filling you have the large region, when the repulsive interaction dominate, you have anti-ferromagnetism. And if you have one channel is attractive, you can have superconductivity. And this region, when the attractive interaction dominate, you have charge density wave. Based on the SP4 symmetry, this one at half filling and bar color like this, it can be extended to an exact symmetry SO7. Such a symmetry unifies superconductivity and the 5 component of anti-ferromagnetism in the spin quadrupole channel. This is the analogy of the SO5 theory of the high PC superconductivity. I think in the spin 1 half system, this SO5 symmetry is not exact. Here, the algebra is essentially exact. And you can also have prove exact degeneracy along this interaction line. The superconductivity and the charge density wave become exact. This is also generalization of the echo theory. And on this line, it's also SO7 line. It's even more dramatic. It unifies a 10 component anti-ferromagnetism, which is the spin and the spin octal operator, and CDW. And on this line, there's another core pairing, which is the spin 2 core pairing. So in total, there are 21 for degeneracy along this line. So you can see such a system is indeed, although it might not be experimentally very realistic, so far we don't have real atom have such to realize such a system, it indeed have a nice indication of all these several common orders that we see in
RTC system. In field. So wait, this is a mean field?
It's a weak copy, but these 6 boundaries are exact.
Is there evidence? I mean, so what is the evidence for this? I mean, so this is mean field recoupling RT. What is this? I mean,
This is a mean field calculation, but the fixed boundary is exact. It's because the fixed boundary is protected by the high symmetry. If you go, presumably works on in 3D weight coupling.
Are these continuous transitions?
Sorry, continuous. Oh, it's kind of. You mean like this high symmetry line, you
When you say exact and protected, does that mean that you rule out first order transitions?
No. So this line, say you have exact synergy between anti-ferromagnetism and signal activity. You can prove the exactly degeneracy. So when you move from this side to this side, your synergy is weakly broken and select one of them.
So does that rule out the first order transition, I guess, what I'm asking?
It's like, I'm hesitant to say the first order. It's kind of also, it's like you have an isotropic Heisenberg model. And if you see the XXZ model, you can tune the JZ and the JXY. Okay. From the, if the JZ is larger than, you can from the Eisen class, the XY class, and the isotropic point, you have a Heisenberg class. Okay. So it's kind of this type of condition. Yeah. Yes?
Related to Fabian's question, how do you relate this exact, high symmetry lines to the frame boundaries of the, spontaneously broken states?
Well, so for example, if I look at this line, both of them are degenerate, so you can choose any of them. If you move away from one of them is a favorite, you get, for example, if you give your Heisenberg model,
yeah.
If you change the symmetry to the Eisen class, you get the Eisen order. If you change the class to the XY, you'll have the XY order.
So it doesn't fix the phase boundary.
The phase boundary between the XY and the Eisen is at the Heisenberg point. If the GZ is larger than GXY, you get the Eisen. If GZ is smaller than GXY, you get the XY.
Basically, the boundary is fixed like that if you assume you don't have an exact solution. If you assume that the system, when it has the higher symmetry, has that symmetry spontaneously broken, in that case, it corresponds to the line.
If you assume exactly
that, is the case.
Exactly. Thanks, Liang.
All the ground thing has a breaks spontaneously.
You could have strong, strong coupling with nothing is broken. That's also possible. That's all possible.
So, since you bring it up, one of the difficulties I remember with the SF5 theory was that it required, I think, long-range interactions for the model to be realized microscopically.
So that's the problem. So in this model, there's no such a problem.
So it would be difficult to imagine a model that could break that. But in cold atoms, can they tune it to be SP4?
SP4, you don't need to tune them. Once you have spin 3/2, it's automatic there.
No.
The SP4 symmetry is for all this parameter. So SP, as I said here, the SP4 in spin 3/2 system, its status is the same as SU2 in spin 1/2 system.
Those interactions have certain forms.
As long as the short range interaction is already the most general form, the half range interaction you can only have two channels. Like in spin 1/2 system, you only have 1/2 the U. Here, you only have 2/2 the U, nothing else. If you have longer range interaction, that could weakly broke this symmetry. So you have two spin 3/2 particles on the same side. 3/2 times 3/2 equals 0, 1, 2, 3, right? But total spin 3 and 1, they are forbidden.
I guess I'm just seeing these Clebsch-Gordan coefficients.
This is Clebsch-Gordan coefficient, yes.
So the eta's are defined in terms of fundamental fermion in a certain fashion, and then they appear in the Hamiltonian in a certain form. That doesn't require some fine-tuning.
No, this is genetic. As long as you assume this spin is conserved, this is the only possible. That's the power of symmetry. As long as you have spin is conserved, this is the only interaction in the short range, this is the only possible term you can write down.
You only have one-side interactions.
Right. If you have interaction, okay, Hubble model is already complicated enough, right? So if you have inter-side coupling, as long as the interaction, if you allow the long-range interaction, you only need to assume that this density-density interaction is still isotherm symmetry is exact. If the longer range interaction is become spin dependent, this SO5 symmetry, this SP4 symmetry could be gone. So it's quite a robust symmetry. But this is not the major part of my talk. It's some refresh of the old. So I also have some technical details which you can find in a short review that I wrote 5 years ago. But now I move to this topic which is relevant to this workshop. we did a quantum and color simulation for the SU6 Hubbard model at half fitting. So this is to be general, we write the SU2N Hubbard model. And this Hubbard model, I didn't explicitly put a chemical potential, because if you write like this, it's already at half fitting, already particle symmetric. And N is sum over all the fermion components. So I define the Hubbard U in such a way that if in the atomic limit, you're t equals zero, if you see, I use the four component case as an example to show this. You have this for different colors, as for different components. If on this half-fitting background, if you create a particle for excitation, the charge excitation N is U. This is my definition. Some also use some like a factor of 1 over N. Just to try to clarify the terminology. And you can see that compared to spin 1/2 case, the spin fluctuation is much stronger. The reason is that suppose you have this half fitting case, you can see how many, starting from this configuration, how many super exchange you can have. If you buy one step of super exchange, you can get all these four configurations. If you apply two step of exchange, we can complete all these six different configurations. So as we can see that, as we increase the number of components, you can see the near state become less and less favorable. For example, if you insist a classical near state, you calculate the second order perturbation theory, how much energy you can gain is linearly proportional to N, because each particles hop to the neighbors and hop back and back and forth. But if you, so this number of hopping process is linearly proportional to N. But if you create a bound singlet, and the number of components increases like this, it's nearly exponentially of N. So such a big number of state randomness greatly lower the energy. So the bound singlet, the energy lower to N squared. So you can see that even without doing any sophisticated theory, we can argue that as n goes large, as in the n goes infinity limit, the bound dimer state will win. And in the following, we introduce some like in order to describe such a system for the SUN algebra, we introduce the generator things in this way. There are n square generators, not all of them are independent. The diagonal term summation satisfies that matrix. It's convenient than the Gell-Mann matrix type generators. And we carefully fix the normalization condition that such that if for SUN system, if we are half fitting each side n particle, the Casimir of such a state is the Casimir like this. So you can check that when n goes back to 1, it's S squared equals for 3/4. It's agree with our common language. And if you perform a second order perturbation theory, at the leading order, you get the standard bilinear Heisenberg model. And as we see that such a system, as you increase the number and the charge fluctuation goes stronger and stronger, in principle, you could have even had two side level, you could have bi quadratic terms. But this requires a higher order perturbation theory. As we can see that the quantum spin fluctuation is greatly enhanced by a large number of n. And next, we will do actual numerical simulation to check that. This is standard determinant Monte Carlo for fermions. Compared to the spin 1/2 case that first studied by Jorge Hirsch in our department, for as we increase number of n, we follow the method introduced by Assad to make the decomposition in the density channel instead of the spin channel, because the number of spins scales at n squared minus 1, it's too difficult to do decomposition in that channel. But if you do decomposition in the density channel, you will at the price involve an imaginary number. But everything is just a scale of n. All this calculation is quite systematic. And at half fitting, you can do a partial particle hole transformation to half of the components, and then you can check that if you integrate out of the Hopf-Sparnowski field, the fermion determinant, they can be factorized in terms of a complex conjugate pairs, so that at half fading, the SUN Hopf model, which is the same as the SU2 case, is free of the sign problem, which means that both the thermodynamic quantity and the ground state magnetic property can be calculated with a high numerical precision. We performed both for this ground state simulation for n equals 4 and n equals 6. For the SU4 case, we still find anti-ferromagnetic Lagrangian order, although the order is weaker than the spin one-half case.
Is it the square lattice?
Sorry?
Is on the square lattice?
Square lattice, yes, yeah, square lattice. The simplest lattice. Yeah.
But then there is former simulations by Fakir Asad did not find.
That's true. We have a discussion with our Professor Asad. He's redo the calculation, but it's a different model. What he simulated is a TJU model and set T and U to zero. So. It's not clear at this stage what happened. And our result agree with we have confidence because it agree with one variational. Let me show you. This is a variational Monte Carlo. We found the anti-ferromagnetic Lagrangian order in SU4. And also there's an unpublished result from another group used the tensor product state. They also find Lagrangian magnetic order for the SU4. So I think that our result consists with them. Okay. And for the SU6 case, we found that the spin correlation is follow decays algebraically. And it is a spin scatterless. It's not clear whether it should be, because we can only check a few common orders, so we don't know whether it is spin liquid or not. And for the final temperature, we calculate the entropy, the isoentropy line versus the temperature and interaction. We found that the parametric cooling for the half-fading case is quite intense. First we need to ensure that the system is in the insulating regime. And calculate this single particle Green's function at on-site at a different time, and you extrapolate, take the log, and find the charge gap. What we found that you can see, as you increase the component species, you fix the U over T, the real single particle gap dramatically suppresses the biological value of N. If for U equals 8, for SU2 case, it quite have a big gap. Everything is in a unit of T. But for the SU6 case, the gap is already tiny. It's already at the order of 0.2. But you can still see that the system has a non-vanishing insulating gap. Now let's...
The SU6 data, could it be vanishing?
Actually, not vanishing. So
no. Your data on the left-hand side.
This one? Oh, sorry.
That one.
So actually, in the real simulation of magnetism, we don't use this. We increase the U to 12. That one have a much larger gap. So this one just a demonstration of the suppress of charge gap. For the real simulation of for the magnetism, we use a much larger U equals 12. Yeah. I agree with this is hard to say conclusive. But I think probably it's fine, right? So you see, this interception still larger than one half value of the last data point. So usually the final size scaling is still acceptable. It's about 50%, I can accept it. If less than, you can question that. Okay. So for the SU4 case, you define the from the Euler method of the spin structure factor as a pi, and some careful normalization using the SU4 Casimir. And this is the 1 over L scaling. This is the line of U space. You can see this is troubled to N on zero value. And if you, I think rather very carefully. For the Euler SU2 case, for the Heisenberg model, the SSE result is by Sandvik. If we follow our normalization method, this one should give to 1 point, it's about 5 times larger than this. So you can see the order indeed weakened. It's not similar. This is a purely Heisenberg model unit. And we also check the spinning back calculation at different imaginary times and extrapolate the exponential decay path. And see the spin gap also scales to zero. This is consistent with the long-range magnetic order due to the appearance of Goldstone mode. And we know that Goldstone mode here is a six-dimensional. And as you said, this result is because from Asada's simulations, after all, it's a different model. But his model, if everything goes correctly, it should be like Heisenberg model, presumably has a stronger magnetic ordering tendency. So at the current stage, we don't know what is going on, but our result is consistent with Parker-McCarty's variation of Monte Carlo, and also with a tensor product state simulation. But these two simulations are not exact by their nature, the variation. Now we move to the SU6 case. So this case, you pointed out, if U equals 8, the charge gap is pretty small. So we try to check to a larger U, U equals 12. And then you can see this is 1.2, it's not 0, here is 1. So the charge gap extrapolation is to about 1.26. So it is a Mott gap. And how we do that, we can, for different size, we plot this Green's function, check this slope. This is how we did. So this is the motor insulator. And again, it calculates the spin structure factor. Let's look at the green line. It is to zero. Although the larger size we can calculate due to our limitation of the facilities by the 16 by 16. And this line is, if you check this spin gap, is also vanished. So it has no spin gap, and we don't find the near order either. And further, we check this using different methods. Systematically increase the system size and calculate the two-point correlation function from the center to the farthest point, L2 and L2. And you see, in the log-log plot, it follows quite a nice power law. And the U equals 12, it gets a power of nearly 1.2. And to we also fit this structure factor. So because structure factor including the short-range correlation, so it should always have a L minus square term. But the quasi long range part we fit with a power law. And this power law fitting gave a power which is consistent with this fit. So we are, this gave us confidence that this results. Okay. And we also check other possible.
Do you have to take an absolute value when you do that?
Absolute. So what's that?
The previous one.
Which one?
It's always the same sign.
Oh, this is a diagonal. This is a, this is always the same sign, that's true. This is like, this is a center. Right, so always the same sign. So basically it's a center and the farthest point in the diagonal direction. So there's no staggering, no staggering. It's always the uniform. Yeah. This is the longest distance we can have. We can also check the other type of ordering of the bond order. For example, the bond kinetic energy, which is equivalent to a diamond ordering, can see all the scaling due to L minus 2. This means just a short range correlation. There's no long range order. And also the bond current. So. This is quite quite robust for the BBW type or the diamond type ordering. That's the dimension. It's not clear what's the nature of such a state. How much time I have? If I run out of time, I can stop here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of time.
Out of time. Okay. So the. Just use one sentence to summarize the. This is the isoentropy calculation for the thermodynamics. So the SU6 case. What for axis temperature? This is the W. If you This is a line of the Heisenberg exchange. So if you prepare your system with the specific entropy less than 0.7, when you increase the half U, you can enter your temperature can always below this magnetic exchange. So this means that on the current experiment, the entropy, roughly speaking, can enter this region. So indeed, we can, for such a system, the temperature can be cooled comparable to J, but still much, if it's much smaller than J, still needs a lot of difficulty, need a lot of effort. As long as this is a critical entropy, if we need to make effort to lower entropy, then this is not good. Okay, so this is the summary of the talk, try to convince you that not spin ultra-cold atoms, they are quantum, not classical. So the simplest spin 3-half case, it can have a nice mathematical structure, although it is not very realistic. But for the experimental relevant system, we show the evidence of power law spin correlation for zero temperature and the effectiveness of thermodynamic cooling. I didn't have time to discuss another part. Basically, this kind of system have, in addition to half filling, have another type of motivation instead. For example, when you have one particle per side, this is far away from half filling. If the spin 3-half is 1/4 filling, for this SC6 system is 1/6 filling. Such a system, you need the magnetism is characterized by multiple side correlations. Basically, when I give you a bond, you cannot form a singlet of this large group. It's something very similar to the QCD that you need at least 3 quarks to form a baryon. Here, depending on symmetry group, you need 4 particles or 6 particles to form a baryon type state. Okay, so this is, thank you for your attention.
I had a question about SC4 Hamilton model. So in the strong coupling limit, you will have this SC4 spin orbital model.
That's at quarter filling, not half filling. That's one particle per side at the quarter filling.
Yeah.
Okay. Is not what I'm talking about. That's more difficult. Monte Carlo doesn't work. You can't do Monte Carlo for that model.
I see. Okay.
There are some tensor product state model by Choi, I think. They claim to find some dimer, and dimer also magnetic order. I also have a collaborator who did similar simulation. I agree with that. So I think this result is reliable for the tensor product method.
Okay,
so
I have an experimental concern.
Yes.
For SU6 tensor model, you have like half billion, you have like 3 particles per side.
Right.
So in cold atom, there is always 3 border loss, instabilities.
Right, right.
How can you stabilize your system?
This is a good question. I don't know. Probably this archive Earth. I presume that it's almost like, because electrons share a fully filled, probably they are reluctant to form a molecule, I guess. I don't know, but I guess that it will be better than the archive. when all the electrons are fully filled, probably they feel reluctant to form molecules. If we don't form molecules, then they don't want to release energy. But this is a good question. That's probably the experimentalist that they first work on the 1/6 instead of the 3-part. Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think in the large U limit of the model, you get the SPN generalization of the Heisenberg model.
For the direct simulation, we only did the SU, for the SP is for the spin 3-halves.
What is the large U limit of your model? The large U limit of your model, isn't it a model where you have spontaneous dimerization?
That is a theory result. That's true. For the SU6 case,
because I thought it was for above 5, or you get
this one. For SU6, indeed, the theory probably, but there's no numerical evidence before us, I think. To my knowledge,
for I don't. Heisenberg model. Okay, I thought maybe I'm getting confused.
No, there's a variation of Monte Carlo by Parker Mancati shows that for the purely Heisenberg model, that's dimerized. But if you add a little bit of bioquadratic couplings, goes to a gap in stability. So in particular, in the U equals 12, actually it's not so much. So probably there are significant bioquadratic component in such a system.
Yeah, so that was my question, because for long U, for very long U, but I thought even there was quantum Monte Carlo on the corresponding Heisenberg model. I will check, but I thought that there was evidence for spontaneous dimerization.
That probably you have seen is simulation, that's a different model. Different, as you see, but different representation. That's two neighboring sides belong to a complex conjugate representation.
Ah, yes.
What's the Japanese name? Harati? Choya. Choya is a crosser. Yeah. Maybe that's the model. That model definitely has bimodeling. That Monte Carlo, boson Monte Carlo has symmetry. Mm-hmm. This one, you say, look at how the model is too difficult to simulate. Is the representation 20?
Yes.
The 20 dimension, the matrix is 20 by 20, I don't know whether it's convenient to simulate from the spin.
But again, you were referring to Assad, so something is wrong with Assad.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that all result is consistent with two different variational methods. One is Parker-Mancati's variation of Monte Carlo, another is a tensor product calculation. We have considered with some other method, but I don't criticize that. I mean, really.
That's